whatever. It'll be fine. Okay, we're continuing the Gemara Makkos Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to... the thing is frozen, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara is going to bring another Braisa. We brought one Braisa, and that was telling us what certain words meant of the way they analyzed the Pasuk. We excluded people who tried to kill someone who was not someone you'd be obliged for killing. So if you kill the other person, that would not go into Galus. Okay, we're back in business now. So now we're starting another Braisa, going through another Pasuk that discusses Ir HaMiklot, killing B'shogeg, and what are the exclusions or the inclusions. And the first one's a very interesting one, and there's a great debate in the Rishonim how to understand this next one. Tana Rabbanan, we quote another Braisa. The Pasuk says, Im Befeta, he shall kill the person Befeta. Now, the word Befeta has a lot of interesting translations. So, if you're looking at the regular translation, it means if suddenly. So, suddenly means like unexpected and something like that. And that would be a case of if you kill someone suddenly, then you go to an Ir HaMiklot, as opposed to, let's say, premeditated or something like that. However, what the Gemara is going to exclude from this is quite interesting, and therefore we're going to see they're going to learn and translate the word Pesah a little different than suddenly. And there should be a lot of commentary on this. Prat leKaren Zavis, excluding a Karen Zavis. Karen Zavis means when you're turning a corner. Let's say the table here. These are walls, big walls, okay? So a guy's walking this way, and a guy's walking this way. Guy walking this way, he has a sword sticking out in front of him. Just walking, you know, he has his sword sticking out like this. Hello, how are you? Have a nice day, you know? So now he's going, so you just put your finger this way. Chanoch, move your finger this way. And we have to time it, that we do it at the same. And I got my sword coming here. As I come out, oh, oi, gewalt, what an accident. And he killed the guy like that. All right, that's what it's excluding, does not go into Golas. A lot of discussion showing him exactly what that means, because there's a lot of problems with that. Right? Now let's think about this. You got this sword in your hand sticking out. Okay, you're walking. If you're walking in the street like this, and another buddy comes and bumps into you, okay. Well, listen, you should see the guy's got a sword like that. Stay away from him, right? But here you're like going around a corner, and the other guy can't see that. So the question is, like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like such a shogeg to me. You're sticking out a sword as you're turning. It's like blind spots in parking lots or things like that where you want to, they put mirrors over there for a reason, right?
Speeding through a stop sign.
So what does that mean? So now, look, I told you, there's a lot on this. So here, the word, even though we said the word, I didn't say the town part. So the person walked with a knife in his hand, a knife, not a sword. Okay, he reaches the corner and inadvertently kills somebody. The word peta literally means near, as the Targum says. Oh, so I'm saying, so literally it means near, even though it means suddenly, colloquially, means near. If you look in the Targum, it says biskef. Biskef means in Aramaic, near. So what does it mean, near? The verse thus refers to the situation the victim and the perpetrator were near each other. That is, the victim was so near the perpetrator, when he first noticed the danger, that he could not get out of harm's way in time. That's what it means by near. The victim was so, like the victim has no time to get out of the way. If I'm walking down the main street with a sword, with a knife in my hand, the victim, the guy's looking, well, you can see what's going on, get out of the way. The guy's, you know, even though you shouldn't be sticking out a knife like this, but you should be looking where you're going to. Right. And therefore, that is, you know, it's sort of your fault too, you know. So, but here, where he's near, in other words, near meaning that the victim only can tell what's happening when it's so near he can't do anything to get out of it. Being a so near the perpetrator when he first noticed danger, he could not get out of harm's way in time. Only in such a case does the Torah impose exile. This is in contrast to a situation where the victim could have avoided the danger and yet failed to do so. For example, the perpetrator was walking toward a corner with a knife in his hand, and the victim was approaching the same corner from a different direction. The different approaches to the corner were such that the victim saw the perpetrator before the perpetrator saw him. Since the victim saw the danger coming but did not move out of the way, it is as he who acted negligently, and the perpetrator is deemed free of responsibility. So this is a very interesting shot. They're saying that the victim was able to see, it was a kind of a winding road or whatever, and it's not like my scenario here, but the victim saw the guy in advance with the knife. And then, let's say this road is a higher road. Okay, this road's coming down, and this road's like this. So when the guy's coming down the road, he sees the guy with the knife already. You saw the guy, but this guy doesn't see the guy. He's not looking up. So he's just walking with his knife over there. So therefore, since the victim saw the danger coming but did not move out of the way, it says he acting negligently is deemed free of responsibility. So it comes out the first case over here, the regular case is he would go into exile. Again, the case he would go into exile. Sort of this again. So let's do it again. Let's read it again one more time. The verse thus refers to in which the victim and the perpetrator were near each other. That's when it was befeta. Befeta means you go into exile. You go into exile when he was near. So in such a case, he would go into exile.
The
meaning
perpetrator
was near in that case. Okay, but if the victim saw in advance what's coming up over there, then you know, even though the guy shouldn't have a thing, but you saw what was going on, you should have gotten out of the way. That's one interpretation. Yeah?
The guy walking down the street with a knife pointing out back at you. He's already done something he shouldn't be doing.
So fine, but everybody else is supposed to watch where they're going too.
No, you're
not supposed to watch where you're going? No.
The guy's intention wasn't to kill. He was going to cut open boxes.
He's just holding it out. He's not waving it around at people. He's just walking like this. He's walking like this.
But he did it.
He didn't have one on him. He just bought a knife from the store that didn't have bags. Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Every scenario, but it could happen.
Okay. So now, on other Rishonim, though, give a diametrically opposed explanation. They rule that any man walking around a corner with a knife in his hand has an obligation to consider that someone may be coming from the other direction. Not exercising the proper degree of caution is criminally negligent, bordering on the deliberate, and therefore it's korov lemezid. It's super negligent that Golas isn't good enough for him. Remember, we put another category, korov lemezid, which he's overly negligent, where Golas is not going to even give him a kapara. So that one is better. Were it not for the verse that exempts him, this assailant would be exiled, although he committed the killing while engaged in a horizontal motion. I got to remember, we talked about going down. Remember the idea of going down? He wasn't going down. Remember we said exile is when you're going down? This is horizontal. For it seems that although the Torah limits exile to one who kills with a downward motion, its intent is only to exclude an upward movement. You hear what's going on?
Yeah.
In the case of a horizontal motion, however, it's possible exile does apply. In other words, there's a question on this shot, however you learn it, we just got done learning the Brisa before, and the Mishnah really, that says you go into exile when it's in a downward motion. When it's an upward motion, you don't go. So it would appear if it's only a downward motion, you shouldn't go into exile with a horizontal movement. That's what he's answering. No, when it says downward, it means downward excluding upward. Because upward, your mamish weren't intending at all. It's an accident. But it would also would not exclude horizontal. So when it's talking about down versus up, right? But it doesn't mean to say down to exclude horizontal.
Yeah.
That's
so
the
why
point.
Would it say that if it doesn't exist?
Because those are the cases they gave in the Mishnah. They gave a case of when you're rolling pin, and you're rolling it down, you're rolling it up. So they're saying rolling it down, you go into exile. Rolling it up, you don't. Okay, it wasn't dealing with horizontal, and don't make deductions to assume, well, it's horizontal, was not down, you don't go into exile. So no, it was only horizontal as opposed to upward.
Okay, he could have got his knife, he had a new knife, he's admiring, he's walking there, and, you know, if someone walks into it, it's horizontal, it's going to be upward, it's not going to be downward.
Straight across.
Well, exactly. So
that's horizontal.
I'm saying that's not gross negligence.
Yeah. Okay, that's not the issue over here. We're saying a case when he came around, according to one opinion, it's straight across, he will go into exile. Yeah. So you have to know the cases over here. But it's that's just a side point. I don't want you to get... But it is possible for him to cross and be chayiv. And don't ask, well, he wasn't going down. The answer is that's not the exclusion. Okay? Yeah?
I was going to say, we don't even have to go there with the horizontal or the downward or upward, because when we learned about the downward and upward, the person was doing an activity, trying to move something or lower something. He wasn't walking around with a knife that potentially everybody knows could be dangerous. So this is a totally separate issue.
No, well, let's say he was rolling the rolling pin mamish horizontally on the roof.
Yeah, but he was doing work on the roof. He was doing something. He did
okay, so he's walking with a knife.
There's a big difference between you're doing work and there's an accident versus you're walking around the street with a knife exposed.
Okay, anyway, enough discussion on this. Let's continue. Okay, so we have two different interpretations, what it means excluding a Karen Zovis. I think the simplest interpretation is the Ritva's interpretation, that he's overly negligent and therefore it's not a kapara for him. And the one shot you don't like is Rashi's, that the victim saw in advance that the guy was going with the knife like that.
Right.
And so I'm, okay, you don't like it, so you go to Ritva. Fine. We give you two shots, and one of them will make you happy. All right, next clause, below Ava, without malice.
Right.
He kills him without malice. Okay, now what's that excluding? Remember, these psukim are all, you only have to say one shogeg. You don't need all these little details. Shogeg is shogeg. But why do you, so every little clause is helping us define what shogeg is and what's included, what's excluded. So without malice is excluding. Pra lesone, to exclude someone that we know was his enemy. If somebody was enemy, it looks and walks and talks like a shogeg, but we know the guy's, I hate you. Well, it's very coincidental he happened to kill the guy. Okay? A person's enemy is defined, look at this guy's, as someone who deliberately avoided speaking to him for 3 days because of hatred. You know, if somebody stops talking to you for 3 days, if after davening, somebody in a room ain't saying hello to somebody for 3 days, you start wondering, how come he's not saying hello to me? He must hate me. There's a problem over here. Not because you've been out of town for 3 days. We don't mean that. We mean, you see the guy, you walk by, he doesn't say hello to you. There's a, you know, Jews say hello, right? Especially during davening. But anyway, even during davening, he didn't say hello to you. Okay? So now if the killer was an enemy of the victim, that even the killing appeared inadvertent, it is assumed that he acted with negligence bordering on the deliberate. This matters this further later on over here. Now, it's interesting. The commentators ask why this derivation is necessary. The law that exile does not apply in the case of an enemy is explicitly said in many verses. It keeps saying, Vohu lo, sone lo. He doesn't hate him. Okay, it's a discussion in the Rishonim. We'll leave it at that. But it comes out, if a guy hates a guy, And he kills him in a way that anybody else we would judge it. We'd send the guy to exile. This guy we don't. We don't assume he necessarily intentionally killed him. Wouldn't help us much because we don't have witnesses who have warned him. Right. But we're assuming he just really doesn't care when he's hanging around that guy. You know, I don't care for that guy anyway. So he's going to do it bordering on severe negligence. And therefore it won't be a kapara as well.
But
he couldn't care less, yeah. You know, like... You know, if somebody you like, you're taking a barrel down from the roof, and you notice your mother's walking across near there. You say, "Ma, get out of the way! Stay far away!" You know what? I'm just going to pull the barrel. I'm not even going to pull it down. My mother's here. I'm not going to bother. The guy, you couldn't care less about the guy. I'm going down, and it falls and falls. You know, I don't care, and I'm not going to. So that therefore, it's going to border more on negligence than just regular going down. Okay, next case, next clause in the pasuk, hadafo, he pushed him. What is that coming to include or exclude? Either shidachafu begufo, that he pushed him inadvertently with his body, meaning he's liable to exile in this case because this is deemed neither a complete accident nor close to deliberate. The Bryce's point is that the verb hadafo, he pushed it, means a body shove. In other words, it's not like you're shooting an arrow or, you know, it's a body shove, a collision, as it were. And you bumped into him in a way, and hey, the guy died from it, you know. In other words, we're trying to say that is, what's shoving, pushing, considered, okay? Other Rishonim, however, understand this to be an exclusion from the laws of exile. In their view, an accidental body shove, which results that it comes close to being deliberate. So some say it's more deliberate because it's your body. You're close to the guy. You could have been more careful. The other one's saying, no, a body shove, can it's possible that's also called a show gig. So it's a machlokas. How do we understand?
Who's going to make the judgment on these kind of cases?
Bezdin. That's why you have to have a court of 23 to decide that. There's a lot of things.
Wow.
Our next clause, it says, oh, he shlich olav, or he threw an implement towards him. So now we come to Lahavi to include the following. Yerida shehitzorech aliyah. When you kill the guy in a downward motion, but the only reason you went down was to go up. When's that? For example, when you want to chop wood, how do you, the axe is in your hand right now. How do you start doing it? Do you go like this?
Yeah.
No.
No.
The axe in your hand right now. Here, right. Pick up the axe. Here's the axe. Yeah. How does a good wood chopper chop wood? He will not go back first. I'll tell you why. He's going to go down first. You know why? Because he down. Just brings it down
so he can
really go way up. Bam! Always start by going down first. I tell that, you know, we're Jews, we don't know how to chop wood. But the Gemara is saying that's the way you chop wood. You first bring it down, and then you bring it up. So you might, remember we said, when do you go to exile? Downward motion. But wait a minute, that's not really a downward motion. I was doing it downward so I can go upward. So maybe we think that it's because I'm going up. It's like upward, and then I shouldn't. We're saying no, that even if the downward is ultimately for the purpose of the upward, but if when you're going down, you didn't notice the guy's foot was there, whatever, and you killed him that way, that will also be exiled. That's included in casting it. So before swinging an axe upward, a person bent his body downward, or bending his body downward, in order to give the upward thrust more power. If he killed someone with the axe as he was lowering it, he's sentenced to exile. In light of the rule that exile is imposed only for accidents resulting from downward motions, it could have been thought that since the movement was made for the sake of an upward one, it should be not warrant exile. The verse ever teaches that exile does apply even here, since the actual direction of the movement was downward. Okay, that's you might have thought it's an upward one. That's what it is. Next example, below tstia, without ambush. What's that excluding? Again, that's all. If it was an accident, you know, if it's shogig, it's obviously not ambush. Why tell him not ambush? Well, it means like this. Prat lemeskave litzad zet. We're excluding this case. Doesn't go into exile. You were planning on shooting the arrow this way. Vahocha litzad acher. And it went the other way. Okay. So, interesting. The word stia also means the word tzad, side. So below stia can mean without ambush. It can also mean without aiming at the side of the victim. The victim's here, and I was looking to go that way. All right? That is, he aimed the projectile to the side where the victim was standing, in other words, to the assailant's right, and not to the other side. Anyways, the person's there, and I'm aiming this way, and it ended up going that way. Since the projectile went where he intended it to, what's going on over here?
He didn't intend to go.
Where he, the words belotstia means without that side, yeah. Without that side. He aimed the projectile, so when it says belotstia, right, that is he aimed it to the side where the victim was standing and not to the other side. Well, since the projectile went where he intended to go, he's liable to exile, provided he did not know that the victim was there, and thus by killing that. By specifying this case, the verse implies that if he would have thrown the projectile away from the victim and then some mishap caused to hit him, the perpetrator is exempted from exile. That's what it means. This is close enough. So, belotstia, without the direction. If it is the direction, I got it exactly where I wanted to go, and I didn't know the guy was there, then I do go into exile. I was aiming this way. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the guy was there.
Right.
I didn't see. He was behind the bush, whatever. So now you go into exile. But if I was planning this way and it went that way, even though I was planning on shooting it, but I wasn't planning on that side, so that now is excluded.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. considered an accident.
Yeah.
Okay, then the question is how other side is the other side? Sammy's there. I'm aiming. Guy's at 12 o'clock. He ends at 1 o'clock. I don't know.
Yeah.
If he's at 12, he's aiming for 5 o'clock. Okay, then that's different. And everybody knows that. You're wondering what would be such a case, right? Well, take anybody to the golf course, you could have a good case like that. Right? How often you play? That real amateurs like some of us, you know. I remember I was playing once with Michael Karolnik at one of the shul golf tournaments. I remember who was doing it. And, like, the golfer was here. And let's say Karolnik was like over there, where Steve is. And the guys want to shoot, no, really more like where the fireplace is. And the guy's teeing off from here. He just caught the edge and went boom, right at, and hit Karolnik. It was like, that's momish the case. Where you're planning on shooting the golf ball one way, and a momish went the other way, you would not go into Gullis. You know, so that would be an example of that.
Was
a holding one. So that's that's right. Okay, so problem is Gavin was tzadzeh v'hochelo l'tzadacher. So that's excluded. That was one of them belotstia. But there's another pasuk says vasher lotzado. Again, keeps repeating again, and he did not lie in ambush. It's the second time now, an extra time the pasuk. So it's got to be excluding something else. We assume the guy planned on throwing it only a distance of 2 amas, but he ended throwing it 4 amas. Now, I'm planning on throwing it just to where the Gemara is, and it went much further than I planned it. Or if he planned on 4 amas and it weighed 8 amas. Again, like the previous expedition, this one also relates to the verb tzadot, to tzad, side. However, the word lotzadar are inferred to mean he did not intend the projectile to fall at his side. In other words, the assailant did not intend the object to fall close to him at his side. Rather, he threw it with enough force to go as far as the victim. He is then liable to exile, provided he did not know that anyone was there. However, he did not intend the projectile to go that far. If you do intend on going 4 amas, and it does, he just didn't intend it on killing the guy. If it goes where you want it to go, you go into exile. So why did he go into exile? Because I didn't know the guy was there. I wasn't careful. He was there. I wasn't careful. But if I'm planning only 2, I know you're there. But I plan on 2, and all of a sudden it went 4. Then I don't go. That's what he's saying. But that's close to an accident. Rambam differentiates between the 2 types of misses mentioned in the Braisa. There are rules that when the projectile sails in the wrong direction, his killing is close to accidental. He maintains that overthrowing the mark borders on being deliberate. Rambam holds it's more negligent. That's why you don't go. Okay, different opinions on that. Okay, next one. Yeah?
Quick question. The 4 different, is there 4 or 5 different categories? There's Mezid, obviously. There's Shogeg, which is
4 categories, I believe. You have complete ones, complete accident. You're completely guiltless. Uh-huh. Not even that. Shem's eyes, nothing. Then you have Mezid, which is completely intending. And if there's witnesses, you get killed. If there's not, there's nothing we can do. But you can't get kapar from us. Hashem will take care of you. Then you have pure Shogeg. Yeah. That fits specific categories. And then between shogeg and maze, we call korov lamezi.
But there's nothing between onus and shogeg.
What could there be? Korov l'shogeg? Either it's in the onus realm. Yeah. There's a point when it leaves shogeg. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't say either it's shogeg or it's onus. Mm-hmm. You can't say korov l'onus because an accident's an accident.
Yeah. Okay.
But intent, there could be real intent, and there could be sort of intent. You know, negligence, like more gross negligence, as opposed to regular unintentional. Okay, next one. It says, "Vasher yavos reyeo bayar." One comes with his fellow into the forest. Who cares where you killed the guy? It says he walk into the forest and you kill him by accident. Who cares if he's going into right? So now the Torah illustrates the type of accidental death subject with the case of two men who entered the forest to cut wood. An accident occurred which killed one of them. We'll see more in a minute. Why do they have to pick an example that went into the forest? Just say two guys or one guy. One guy's chopping wood. Who cares where it is? Why do you mention the forest? What? Well, you couldn't, whatever. But he says like this, different meaning. Ma yar, what do we know about a forest? It's an open domain. Rishus lenizik ulamazik likanasham. Both a victim and the assailant have a right to be there. Okay. It's open area. It's not like, what are you doing on my land? Yeah. Okay. In other words, you only can have a case of shogeg is where everybody's entitled to be there. They have a right to be there. Forest is usually meant hefker, rishus haram, whatever you want to call it. Everybody's allowed to be there. That's what it means. Meaning to say, so just like that case, so any other case of shogeg for the guy to go to exile has to be similar to the forest. Of the other situation, there has to be permission, lenizik ulamasik likanisham, that both the assailant and the victim have a right to enter, and therefore, obviously, what's going to be excluded? If you come to my house, I'm chopping wood in my house, I don't got to be careful. No one's asked you to come into my house. You come in my house with permission.
We're right. My family.
Right? If somebody comes into the kitchen on Shabbos and the cleaning lady, if she was Jewish, pours boiling hot water by mistake in the person there, would not go to exile because the sign says only people with permission can go in, even though everybody goes through it anyway. Okay? But you have no permission to be there. If you're going into my house, you ring the doorbell, see if I answer, and if I don't answer, you don't come in. So I'm not sure. I'm doing my own business in my own house. So therefore, I would not have to go, even though everywhere else I'd have to go into exile. I don't have to go into exile over there. Okay, now it gets a little interesting now. Boy mine Rabbaboam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbaboam is going to ask a question from Rabbi Yochanan. This is all based on this idea that you only go to exile with a downward motion. So now he has an interesting situation of a guy climbing a ladder. The guy is going up a ladder. So right now, we would assume, if I don't tell you anything more, and he falls down the ladder, you assume he doesn't go into exile because he's going up the ladder. But we're going to throw a wrinkle into this. Okay? Now, when you go up a ladder, you put your foot on a rung. Okay? So as he's... Now, when you're going up a ladder, your feet are always going to go down and then up. Figure a minute when you go on a ladder. You pick your foot up, and then what do?
Put it down.
You put it down onto the rung.
Yeah.
So the foot has an upward motion
and a downward
motion. So I'm climbing a ladder. Uh-huh. I'm climbing up. I slip. I fall. I kill the guy. I don't have to go into exile because I was planning going up. But now the case over here is as I pick my foot up, and as my foot's coming down to hit the rung, v'nishma tashliva, and the rung was dislodged from beneath him, v'nafla, and fell on someone, v'harga, and killed him, and the rung killed the guy. When I put my foot down, it hit the rung. The rung wasn't so careful there. It just went down and killed the guy. Now, mahu, what's the halacha? Now, there's a very interesting question. Is it considered an upward motion? Is it considered a downward motion? So Gemara is going to say, we're ready, answered your question. Can anybody tell me the answer to the question?
It's a downward motion.
Downward.
Why? What's your proof?
Because you're going to put the legs down.
What? Bring me a proof from a brisa we learnt today. We only learned it like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. What's the case?
Well, so he was intending to
which case? Which case have we already discussed? That is the same case. It's just a little bit different nuance.
Dillard.
The axe case. What did we say when the guy takes the axe to go down? In order to go up, what's the law? You go into exile. That's included. Remember, that's included in that. So Gemara is going to say, we're going to see it's going to be a debate later, but right now the Gemara is saying, it's just like I'm going down to go up, so the same thing over here. So Gemara says, ki hai gavna. So I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. I'm still in the question. I got so excited with the answer, I didn't finish saying the question. Mao, ki hai gavna, is this considered going upward because the guy wants to go up? Oh, you're idiot. So going down because he wants to put his foot down. He answered, Kvarno Gata, we already touched on this subject. Biarita Shitzarchali in the previous Brisa that talked about it going down for the purpose of going up. So this is who this was asked to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan maintains that the determinant is the direction of the rung, not the direction of the person. The sentence of exile consequently applies since the rung was being pushed downward. Although the climber pressing the rung down solely for the purpose of boosting himself up, such a motion falls under the category of a downward motion needed for an upward motion, which, as the Brisa taught above, also warrants exile. From the wording of Yochanan's reply, it appears that Rav Bo also knew this Brisa, because he already said, look, Kvar Nagata, you've already touched upon. Mm-hmm. What does it mean, you've already touched upon? You know the Brisa like I know the Brisa. In other words, he's sort of saying, what are you asking me to question? We both know the Brisa. We're all in class together. We learned the Brisa. Imagine if we just finished learning the Brisa. What do you guys ask me this question? What if a guy puts... I said, well, we just learned the Brisa, right? So now the question is, what was Rav Bo thinking when he was asking the question? According to Rav Bo, however, the Brisa's ruling has no bearing on his question. Rather, refers only to situations in which a purely downward movement took place at the moment of the accident. He was lowering his axe. That's a pure downward motion. Only in that circumstance does the Brisa deem it a downward motion which renders one liable to exile. But as for our case, where the person was engaged in both upward and downward movements simultaneously... You see the difference? Perhaps the term is the upward motion. When you're swinging the wax down, it's two mamish separate things. You're going down,
right.
And now I'm doing exerting a different force up. But to go up a ladder, you can't go up a ladder if you don't go down.
The two opposite forces.
I can take the axe and I can go like this. I don't have to go like this. I don't have to. It makes it easier. It's better. But this is clearly down, and then afterwards comes an up. But if I want to go up a ladder, you cannot go up a ladder if you're not going down at the same time you're going up.
Right.
You hear the difference? That's what Rabbi Bo thought. It's a little bit different. You're going up and down at the same... You're going up through down at the same time. So he figured maybe it's up. To which Rabbi Bo said, no, that's still considered a going down motion. And
so the purpose of the movement doesn't count?
Like according to Rabbi Yochanan... Doesn't matter.
So he's saying down while you do that. Doesn't count.
It's still considered down, which is not intuitive.
Yeah.
Not intuitive because wouldn't you consider that an accident? Wouldn't you consider that when you're going down? What he's saying, if you're putting your foot down, even to go up, you have to be more careful. That's what he's saying. Rabbi Bo didn't necessarily understand it that way. That's for sure down. That's for sure down. Okay, shkoyach, everybody.